Welcome back to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. I'm your host, Dana Montes of Real Food with Dana. I'm a nutritionist and body image coach, teaching women how to heal their relationship with food and their bodies, ditch the diet cycle for good, and truly thrive with real food, one delicious meal at a time. Today's episode is super cool because it's a bit of a different topic than we normally talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about building a business and entrepreneurship today, which I know you guys are going to like since I've been getting so many questions about how I built my own business recently. So today's episode is with Jess Thomas, who is the founder of Health Lab, which is an Australian wellness and beauty brand inspired by what real women need and want. So Jess was, until a few years ago, working in the corporate world and came from a history of a family with a lot of food allergies and chronic health issues. And she realized that, you know, the typical 3 p.m. coffee and cafe breaks just weren't cutting it because all of her coworkers and her would come back from their lunch break and just be feeling like crap. So she decided to start creating her own snacks and was making them in her own home kitchen. And after countless coworkers kept asking for her little protein bites, she started selling them to local cafes. And fast forward a couple of years later, she now is the full-time CEO of her own business, having quit her corporate job to pursue her dream, which is awesome and something we can all aspire to. So on today's show, we're going to be talking about what it's really like to start your own business from the ground up, what to do when you hit all of the road bumps along the way, and Jess shares a couple of hers because you're going to experience a lot of these, and then also how to deal with the stress of creating a business and balancing a full-time job so you can build a health-focused business without losing your health, especially when you when you have chronic health conditions. So I'd love to start with your personal story, and I'd love for you to talk about why you became so passionate about the health and wellness space and what led you to create your business.
Sure. So I think going back to my earlier days growing up, my mom actually suffered quite a bad autoimmune disease. And then when I was 17, I was also diagnosed with an autoimmune condition, which I've also passed on now to my two-year-old daughter. So it's genetic. Yeah. So it's just, I guess, something I've always had in my life. And I think in my late teens, sort of early 20s, I kind of tried to deny the fact that I had an autoimmune and keep up with what my friends were doing. And I learned very quickly that I just couldn't keep up with the same type of lifestyle they were living. My body just wasn't responding well. So I think from my early 20s onwards, I had a real appreciation for, you know, eating well, looking after your body, you know, trying to slow down where possible. But I guess then I got into the corporate world. So before starting Health Lab, I was working in marketing roles in companies like L'Oreal, where they were very fast-paced and highly stressed. And I guess I probably found myself, you know, in my mid-20s back in a position where I was pushing myself too much. But at the same time, you know, when you're in the conditions where you're busy and you're stressed and you're tired, you don't always prioritize the right things. And I'd find that, you know, every afternoon around 3 p.m., I was craving sugar, like had terrible sugar cravings. But I also noticed a lot of my coworkers did. So it would be a common theme that at 3 p.m., you know, we'd go and get something from the local cafe or food store to share with the team. And I started to notice that the only things available for us to enjoy, this was about 3 years ago, was, you know, chocolate, muffins, really processed protein bars, you know, that had lots of ingredients that you didn't really recognize. And they weren't really hitting the spot for me. So one afternoon on a weekend, I actually started making protein balls myself at home. And then the following week, I'd bring a batch to work for everyone to share with the team. And I started to notice that they were only kind of lasting till Monday or Tuesday because everyone was demolishing them. And then, for the rest of the week, I couldn't find anything like that to buy around where I was working or in my local area. And I realized really quickly there was a gap for like actually healthy snacks that didn't have, added sugars and syrups to them, that still tasted satisfying as well, so that you weren't, still searching for something else. So I actually started making protein balls myself, and selling them to the local cafes in my area while I was still working full time. And then things started to go really, really well, and word started to spread. So before I knew it, I was working full time, and then I had myself, a little small snack business on the side. So I'd be rolling protein balls all weekend and then delivering them to cafes during the week around work. And then things started to take off and get busier, and I had to start employing my friends and family to help me roll on the weekends to try and keep up with demand. And then I was spending my night times, ordering stock ingredients, making up batches for the next day. I started an online store so I could start delivering them around Australia in the mail. So I was packing orders late at night. I then started to have team members having to come over, during the day to keep up with demand. So I'd have friends and family at home in my kitchen while I was at work rolling protein balls for me. Was absolute chaos. It was, definitely, I look back and think, oh my God, what a circus. I had, people coming in and out of my house. I was working crazy hours. So I'd be getting up at 4 a.m. to prep batches for the team to roll that day. I'd then do like deliveries and sales calls on my way to my corporate job. And then I'd race home after work and like pack up the kitchen, order ingredients, and, be up till about midnight trying to keep up with what was happening. So within a few months, I kind of hit a point where we couldn't keep up with demand, which is a really good problem to have. I also had a corporate career, and I got to about a 6 month mark, and I had to make the decision of, whether I gave it a real shot and made this into a proper business, or kind of went back to my corporate career, because I was, so exhausted. I remember coming home one night, trying to open my front door with my car keys. I was just starting to get
Oh no.
delirious. Yeah, so I decided to quit my corporate job, and give it, I sold my car. I had a Toyota Corolla at the time, so I got $5,000 cash for it, and I decided to properly start the business. So I went into it full time.
That's
And
so cool.
yeah, a bit of a crazy story.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny though, because what's funny for most of business, especially businesses that are successful on social media now, it's like social media is very popular now. But when we started our businesses, social media wasn't as big. So now people are only seeing not necessarily the end product, but like a middle, very far along the spectrum type of product of you've been hustling at this for like 3 years or 5 years or whatever it is, but they don't really see the grind or what went into building this business that is now successful. But I think it's super interesting that you mentioned that you were super stressed out in your corporate job and it was causing your autoimmune disease to flare and stuff. So how was your health impacted by this process of starting the business when you were stressed out at your corporate job and you were trying to create this business basically all around the clock in addition to that?
Yeah, so the irony of I guess looking back at it all is that I was starting a health and wellness business, but my lifestyle was anything but healthy and well. I was surviving, our protein balls were delicious and very nourishing, but that was literally probably what I was eating for a good 6 to 8 months there. And you're right, I really was burning the candle, and it wasn't sustainable what I was doing. And I think as you're saying, you look at the culture that's promoted on social media and everyone sharing, these amazing stories, and you listen to podcasts and, people's startup stories sound amazing. But I think, it does at the same time promote a bit of a burnout culture, and you feel to keep up and to really grow your business, you need to be working, around the clock. And it's hard as well when you're passionate about a business to not always feel like you can be working on something, because it doesn't always feel like work. And I think I definitely spent the first few years of the business in a really pushing the boundaries and in an unhealthy kind of level for where my body was at. And then I realized, quite quickly into things that I wasn't building a sustainable business, that I was going to be able to continue that momentum. And that I kind of wasn't practicing what I was preaching as a health and wellness business and about balance and, enjoying life, I guess. So probably 2 years into the journey of it all. So I did push through for a while, but I realized I was going to have to make some changes and try and get a little bit more balance into my life, because I also noticed, when you're living like that, you're not as productive, you're not making the best decisions, you're not probably being the best business owner and leader that you could be. So I think it's something that, as entrepreneurs and starting a business, you need to be wary of, and ensuring that you do try and build in, time for exercise, time for socializing, and trying to create a little bit of balance in your life to make sure that you really are your best version of yourself while you're building your business.
Yeah, I think that's amazing advice. I feel like, though, the funny thing is, even now, when there's such a entrepreneurship culture that we're dealing with this generation, is that we all hear, especially in this age of like, oh, everyone should be doing self-care and stuff, that even if you're building a business, you have to build in the time for family, for friends, for relaxing, for recharging and stuff like that. But I almost feel that you need to realize what your limits are and push them before you realize how you have to push back or pull back, I guess. You know what I mean? Because like, if you, and I'm not encouraging anyone else to do this, like, I'm not encouraging you to work a full-time job and try and start a part-time business and basically make that into a full-time job while you're working another full-time job. But if you hadn't pushed those late hours and you hadn't been trying to create this business, sometimes if you don't push those boundaries at first, you can never get your business off the ground, which is why so many people will start off in their full-time job and then they'll go back to school while they're doing their full-time job, and then they'll start a part-time job, whether it's health coaching or starting a food business or doing nutrition or a blog or whatever it is. And it isn't until they reach that tipping point that then it forces them to make that decision, okay, now I really need to take my passion and make this full time. And it isn't until then when, like you said, as entrepreneurs, the reason you start a business, hopefully, is because you love what you're doing so much. And it's easy to get into the cycle of, I love what I'm doing so much, so I basically never stop working because everything I do is for my business. But yeah, then it takes a while to realize, okay, even though I love what I'm doing, it's still work and it's still exhausting, and I still need to balance out family and friends and exercise and relaxation and all this other stuff so you can recharge and continue to build a sustainable business, like you said.
Yeah, I do think, I agree totally. I think the hard work is definitely a part of it, and you can't escape it. If you want to build a successful business, it really is a lot of work. It's a lot of sacrifice. You don't get to see your friends as much as you would. I think I disappeared from my friends for about a good year there. And I think it does, you do reach a point where you have to make some decisions and make sure you're growing the right way. But I do think you're right, that it's part of the journey, and you learn so much about yourself and realize how strong you are as well, and how much you can achieve when you're really focused on a dream and a purpose and a passion. But yeah, so it is definitely part of the experience. And I think, it makes it feel a lot more satisfying when you have a business where you know you've worked so hard and you've really stretched yourself to get to a certain point, and you've gone through a lot of the experiences. But, I guess there's not many businesses that become an overnight success in 2 years. So the journey really is a lot of hard years in there. So you have to build in, I guess, practices that can keep you going for what's required, and to make sure that you're, still enjoying it and you're still loving what you do and keeping that passion alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's good to note also that there are very, very few businesses that are overnight successes, and there are even fewer of those businesses that are actually sustainable business models. Like, you shouldn't be aiming to create an overnight success, because it's probably not going to last you for a very long time. Even people who have built, such a big following on Instagram and they make a ton of money from their Instagram, well, one day Instagram's going to go away, and then what are you going to do? If you suddenly had 100, 200, 300,000, a million followers on Instagram in like the course of 1 or 2 months, you don't really understand the hard work that goes into that and how to actually build the sustainable business model, rather than if it took you, you know, 5 years to get to 50,000 followers, but you've built an engaged following and you've built a host of brands that you have partnerships with and you have close relationships with all these people that are in your camp.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think you learn so much as well during those longer years and doing things through a process that, you know, there's a lot of lessons there that means that you're growing and that the business you're building really is, like you're saying, sustainable and you've got a loyal community. I think if things happen too quickly, you know, you don't build in the foundations of a solid business there and things can kind of topple. So, yeah, even though it's always tempting to want it to happen so quickly, I think, you know, a lot of the whole process is the journey that you go on, as cliche as it might sound. I think that's where you really develop and grow and learn the most, when it doesn't come that easy and it doesn't come overnight.
Yeah, and it's making mistakes and lots of mistakes and learning from those mistakes. So how – I always love asking people this question, whether it's on a podcast or a personal conversation, or just how did you figure out how to actually start a business?
It's really funny. I think, you know, looking back, it was literally taking one step at a time. And, you know, quite often the mistakes, I guess, or the road bumps you hit force you to move in a different direction or make a decision maybe you haven't been wanting to make, that in fact propel your business in a direction or take you to that next level. I think, you know, for us it was starting to grow and having to build a team really made me think about, you know, what the business actually needed and where we were going. You know, trying to delegate what you're not good at as well. So starting to bring on team members and realize that I can't do everything alone to build this business. I'm going to need some help. So, you know, even if it's just one team member you bring on and suddenly, you know, you're free to focus on different areas in the business, and you can start, you know, getting better at it. But I think just, it can't happen overnight, probably like the success thing. It has to happen step by step. And I think one approach I've taken with the business is working out what I'm really good at and what we're good at as a business internally, and then trying to build out and outsource things that we're not as good at so we don't have to focus on them. So for us, I guess, to build the business, we decided we'd outsource manufacturing and logistics because we're not manufacturers, even though I make the recipes and I love product development. You know, it's one thing from making a protein ball in your kitchen to doing it at a large scale.
Yeah.
Realizing that that's not something I was ever going to really be a specialist at, and taking that off kind of what we were doing so we could focus on things like marketing and building a community and creating these new products and coming up with the ideas. That's kind of really helped us and allowed us to grow.
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things as an entrepreneur and as a business owner too, is realizing that you, if you want to scale your business, if you want to continue to grow, you can't do everything yourself, which means that you have to put your trust in your brand in someone else's hands, which is really scary because at the beginning, like, you were making everything yourself. You were driving to all the cafes to put the protein balls in there. Like, you were doing everything and you were the face of the brand. And then when you realize, okay, the only way for me to continue to grow a successful and sustainable business is to figure out what I'm not good at, which is a very humbling experience too. It's like, okay, what are the things that I need to be focusing on and I personally need to be doing? And what are the things that I can admit that I'm not the best at or I'm not a specialist at and other people are better at, and they can help me in turn grow my business by taking over my basically weaknesses or where I don't have the capacity to scale the business so that we can grow.
Yeah, that's totally it. And I think also forcing yourself to take that next step even if you don't feel ready, you know, so making sure, well, it probably is that you hire someone before you might necessarily feel ready for it, but it forces your business to step up to that next level and have enough work ready for them, and makes you, you know, plan ahead and start thinking a bit more like a leader. And I do definitely think that sometimes you have to step out of your comfort zone when growing a business and bring yourself up to that next level. And it's amazing that you do catch up to it. You know, like, we outsourced our packing and logistics, and I was probably packing, you know, 50 or 60 parcels a night. and you realize you take that off your hands and suddenly you're free to do other things. So, you know, even though it might feel scary at the time to, you know, hire that person or to outsource that part of your business, it definitely does mean that you step up to the next level.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because I get that question all the time from friends and from clients, is like, how do you know when you're ready to take that next step? Or how do I know when I will be ready to do this? And you honestly, you never do. If you think you're ready now, it's too late and you should have done it already, basically. I mean, that's the way that I've grown my business, and it's not a safe option, right? But entrepreneurship in itself is not a safe option. You never know what's going to happen in the next year in your business. You know, the economy could crash, like one social media platform could just completely go down. And if all of your marketing eggs are in that basket, then you're kind of shit out of luck. And it's like, you never know when you're going to be ready. So you should, I mean, not that you should put your eggs in every single basket, right? But just focus on one thing and then jump into it and see if it works. If it doesn't, you can always try something different. But that's the only way you're going to grow in your business or in your life, is by stepping outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, that's totally it. I think, you know, if you can feel like you're operating out of that comfort zone, then it means you're learning. It means that you're pushing yourself and taking risks. And in my experience, it's only ever paid off. You know, it doesn't always work the way you intended, but it definitely takes you in a new direction or takes you to a new level. So I think that's a really good way to look at it.
Yeah, I love that. So I would love to talk about the less glamorous side of businesses. So I'd love to hear about some of the biggest road bumps you hit along the way, but decided to keep going anyways.
Oh gosh, there has been so many, so many. But I guess when I think about some of the big ones, I think, you know, quite early on in the journey, I launched a range of protein powders that I hadn't tested them enough with customers. And I was so excited to get a vegan protein powder onto the market. It hadn't really been done in Australia at the time. And had amazing ingredients in them, and you know, they had great packaging. But then I started getting all these complaints from my customers that they tasted horrendous and they didn't blend very well. And I realized instantly that I had spent all this time on the packaging and the marketing message and you know, launching them first to market, that I'd really failed to test them with real customers. It was a disaster, and I had all these people wanting their money back and a lot of negative comments about them. And so I realized I learned a really big lesson there about taking the time to develop products properly and how important taste is. But I guess I ended up going out with a marketing campaign that I called We Effed Up. And I our customers free replacements, and I was really honest about what I'd done and how early I was into the business journey. And I was, you know, really amazed by, I guess, the response to the community. So, you know, I think remaining honest with the people that are buying your products, and you know, you're not always going to do things perfectly, but you know, customers are pretty amazing, and they're pretty forgiving if I think you give them that honesty and that trust, and you know, and open up to them. So that was a really big lesson for me. And I think, you know, taking the time to really make sure, you know, as exciting as it is to get things out there, that you've done the research and make sure that you've tested it enough. So that was a big one early on in the day. Another one I've done, which was very much a scary one, was so when it comes to food products and snack products in particular, it's very strict, especially when you're using nuts, that you declare allergens properly on your packaging. Mm-hmm. And I had printed the wrong nut allergen on, so I declared peanuts instead of cashews.
Oh, God.
Which seems like such a small mistake in the scheme of things, but it ended up meaning I had to withdraw off the market about 100 grams worth of balls.
Whoa.
And this was quite early. Yeah, this is just when we'd sort of started retailing our product. So, you know, not only was the product off the shelves for months, but our retailers were very angry, and we'd lost a lot of money. So that was probably one of the biggest points where, you know, the business could have gone under. So there's been definitely some scary times and a lot of mistakes. But I think, you know, I've learned the biggest lessons from those two particular instances, and there's been so many. But it's quite often the small details, I think, when you are, especially when you are a startup and you're trying to do a lot of things and you're probably working at quite a high pace and intensity, that really slowing down sometimes to make sure that you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's can save you a lot of money and a lot of issues down the track, even though you feel like you need to be moving quickly and keeping up with things, especially in the market where there's so much competition and you're seeing what everyone else is doing on social media and you want to build your business. They've definitely been some big ones for me, and I guess a lot of rejection as well, like we are in almost 6,000 retailers now around the globe, but we've had some retailers say no to us 7 or 8 times before they've said yes. I've had one retailer of ours take 2 years to get our products in there, and that's with us constantly keeping in touch and sending samples and trying to give them the best commercial angle that we can. But I think there's definitely those things that you don't see behind the scenes of a business and of people's stories where, they definitely get no's, they definitely have to take their product off the market. Well, probably not everyone, but a lot of people. And there's mistakes there. So I think, as much as it's probably the hardest times, that's definitely what I think's made the business stronger, because from those situations we've built in, proper quality processes now. Proper checks for things. It meant that our, probably going back to what we were saying earlier, that our business had to step up to that next level. And if we were going to operate, at that retail level and we're starting to go into major supermarkets, we have to be ready for that. And so our team, our business structure, everything that happens in the back end had to really grow to that next level so that we were able to operate at the highest level. So even though at the time there were like disasters and there was a lot of tears and a lot of late, restless nights, not sleeping. In the end, it's only been the best thing that's happened for the business.
Yeah, so you mentioned not getting caught up in like the game of social media and trying to compare yourself to other businesses. And I talk about that a lot on this podcast in terms of food and body image and not comparing yourself to other people because social media is such a highlight reel. But as an entrepreneur, how do you keep from comparing your business to other businesses on social media and where they are in their journey?
Yeah, it's a hard one. And I think at the start, I would get very caught up in what our competitors were doing. And, I would really upset me if I saw one of them and copied our product, or, they'd launched something before I had. And I think I learned quickly that if you kept focusing on what everyone else was doing, that you weren't focused on your own race and what you were doing. And the moment I sort of stopped worrying about the noise, as I call it, around you, especially with your competitors, it meant that I was really able to think about our strategy and how we wanted to be different and what we could do. And I've launched some like really innovative first to market concepts like collagen beauty snacks and probiotic wellness balls that our competitors weren't doing. And I think if I'd kept being really worried about what they were doing, I would have stayed on the same level as what they were doing. So I think in some ways you do need to live in a bit of a bubble when it comes to your own brand and your own products, because otherwise you're going to be constantly looking over your shoulder and worrying about everyone else. I think another good thing to do is to surround yourself with entrepreneurs that are also starting businesses that maybe aren't in the same industry as you, but that you can share the highs and lows with, and that they can really relate to what you're going through. Because I think, as you said, people aren't sharing that stuff as much on social media about what's happening and, the pressure to not sort of show any weakness and always, keep up appearances. But when you sit down for a coffee with another entrepreneur, that's where you can open up, and you've got that relationship and that respect, and you realize that they're going through similar things, even if it's in a totally different industry, or they may have had a situation that can help you, move through one of the roadblocks you're facing. So I think, social media is an amazing vehicle, and it's been great for growing our business and reaching our end consumers and engaging with them. But I do try and stay pretty mindful of not paying too much attention to what other people are doing.
Yeah, I really like that tip of finding someone else who you can talk to about it, who's not in your field or in your area or something. When you said that, immediately what came to mind is one of my friends, Rebecca, started this gluten-free vegan waffles business. They're savory waffles made with yuca, and we both started our businesses around the same time. So she's in like the food service industry, and I'm in the like clinical nutrition industry. So it was perfect because they're complementary, but we could both always talk to each other about like, oh my God, like this isn't going well, or like this is going really well. You should try this with marketing on social media. And then I have another friend, Christina, who for I think maybe 2 years now, she's also a nutritionist, but she lives like 3 hours from me in Philadelphia. So we don't run in the same circles, basically. So we can always, every single week, we've had a call for almost 2 years until she just had a baby like last week. And we always bounce ideas off each other. We can, share the highs, share the lows, and kind of help each other get through that.
Oh, it's such a good idea, and you'd be surprised, even if they're not the same type of business, the experiences of growing a business can be really similar. Like you might have, problems with team members that they've experienced, or, as you said, they might have discovered a really great way to use social media or have a marketing idea that you can adapt. But I think, out of the context of social media, you have that realness with people, and I think it's important you find people that you can talk to and, help you realize that it's all part of the process, and, to keep focused on, solutions and stay positive together. And I think, yeah, that's definitely something I found really helpful growing the business.
So, what do you do on those hard days when everything is going wrong,
Yeah.
to help convince yourself to keep going when you just want to give up? Because we've all had those days. I'm like, man, I could have just stayed in my corporate job and had like a nice cushy salary and like had a 9 to 5 or a 10 to 6 or whatever, instead of basically working all day, every single day.
Oh gosh, and it's true. You definitely have those moments where you're like, "Did I do the right thing?" But I think staying really connected to your why and that bigger vision, I think having that purpose helps pull you through those tough days where you're like, "I'm working towards something and I'm going to achieve that." Another thing I found really interesting is I realized probably a few years in that we weren't celebrating the small wins. I think sometimes those smaller wins are easy to kind of just smooth over and not really acknowledge and take the time. But you, when you look back, it's all those small wins that I guess build up the bigger wins. So I think, finding time to celebrate, how well you are doing and those small things that, will matter in the end. So taking the time to acknowledge them and to do something, nice to kind of celebrate those has really helped, make the journey feel a little bit more exciting as well. And I think goal setting for me is really important. I think your mind, your business is only ever as big as your mindset. And I've definitely felt that to grow my business, I've really had to work on myself and my mindset, overcoming self-doubt and staying positive and, thinking, like I said earlier, of that bigger vision for your life and for your business. So I think spending time to, aside from your business, to work on self-development and to work on your mindset means that you're able to move through those challenges a lot better and stay a lot stronger as the business is going through those hard times.
Definitely. And one thing I've been talking about a lot recently is self-care and helping build that resilience for when you have those tough times. So, especially as an entrepreneur who also has a chronic health condition of an autoimmune disease, how do you build in self-care to help manage stress so that you can be the sustainable face of the business?
Yeah, it's hard. And, I've got a 2-year-old daughter as well, and I'm pregnant with my second baby. So,
So you need a lot of stress management.
even going home's not always relaxing downtime. I bless my daughter. She's gorgeous, but she's, in an age where it's full on and there's so much energy. You have to force, like, schedule time in, like you would schedule a business meeting, is the only way I found I can make it work. Is to put that commitment in my diary for that week, and have those that time allocated. But yeah, it's really hard. You always want to put, as a business owner and as a mum, you want to put everyone else first. You want to work as much as you can on the business. You want to spend as much time as you can with your family. And I think it's really easy to let yourself come last. But as you said, like, you know, if you're not looking after yourself, you can't be that best business owner, you can't be that best version of you and the best mum. So I think, you know, forcing yourself to realize that if you don't take care of yourself, no one else will, and that your business will end up suffering, and kind of really forcing that, yeah, that time, being really strict with yourself, I think, and structuring it into your schedule, your week or your day, however you want to do it. But I think it's essential that you, because everyone can find time for it. It's about, I guess, priorities, and making sure you are making yourself a priority, because it's really important, because everyone else is relying on you at the end of the day. So yeah, I have to schedule in my, you know, exercise or downtime, and other small things. Like, we definitely, once we get home, we don't have phones on, so we try and, you know, as tempting as it is to check your emails, I really try and disconnect at certain periods, so that you are mentally, you know, recharging. And yeah, having, I'm very lucky, I think, actually, having an office space now. You know, at the start of the business, we had it at home. So we had our home office, which has, you know, amazing benefits and definitely can suit some people. But I found I really couldn't balance any separation between work and life. And my husband also works in the business with me, so it's a family business all the time. But trying to, having that physical separation between where I try and do my work and then when I come home and have, you know, downtime or family time has helped as well.
And then what do you like to do with that downtime?
I probably, my instinct is to do all the things that probably aren't always the best. I love, you know, high intensity running. Like, I love running. You know, I love kind of, that's probably my big de-stressor. But at the same time, and I actually was listening to one of your podcasts, Dana, earlier this week, that, you know, sometimes actually that exercise, that high intensity exercise, isn't going to help de-stress you and probably not the best thing for you. I'm learning. I have two dogs as well, so going for walks with them, I found probably the best thing, getting outside in nature, getting out in the sun. I'm terrible at yoga and meditating, even though I know that they'd probably be excellent for me.
Yeah,
so
most entrepreneurs are very bad at yoga and meditating because we like can't slow down.
Can't slow down. I definitely struggle with it. My mind is in constant overdrive. So I found actually that walk is probably the main thing, and going to the beach. So like being near water, I find is really calming for me. But, you know, it's definitely something that I'm working on getting better at. It's not one of my strengths. You know, I go, and quite often, you know, will set my alarm, for instance, to try and do work before Gigi gets up. But I've learned that actually not setting my alarm, that extra hour of sleep and prioritizing that, will mean that I'm much better version during the rest of the day. Even though I might feel like I've got less done, I actually do things at a better level. So yeah, probably prioritizing sleep and making time for like getting outdoors and doing something active is probably the best way for me.
Awesome. So two things before I let you go. What advice can you give for new entrepreneurs who are kind of teeter-tottering between, maybe they have a website or maybe they have a social media, but they don't know what to do next, and just something is holding them back? Like, what can you tell them?
I think you just have to jump. I think, you know, I look back, you know, you won't regret it. I think you'll learn so much regardless of the outcome, and you'll learn so much about yourself. But I think if you're in limbo about whether or not you should do something, you just have to go for it and you'll work it out. Like, it's amazing once you force yourself to start something that, you know, you really can step up and you're capable of so much more than you probably realize. So I think just trying to ignore that self-doubt and just take the jump and get out of your comfort zone is the best thing you'll ever do.
I love that. And then, do you have any favorite either books or podcasts on entrepreneurship that have been super helpful to you in your journey?
I love podcasts, obviously, besides yours. I do definitely, you know, I do think it's really nice to be able to listen to other people's experiences and stories. I think if I was going to recommend one book, it would probably be Good to Great. If you are, you know, building your own business, I think the big takeaway from that is getting the right people around you and the right team. And also trying to focus on not doing too much. So trying to focus on, you know, really good things, and like whether it's a good product or a good service, and not trying to do everything will really help you grow and be in a good place with your business.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This is awesome. I haven't done a lot of podcasts on entrepreneurship yet, but I'm going to be doing more, and this is super interesting. So thank you. And please let know where everyone can find you and where everyone can find the Health Lab.
Yes, and thank you so much, Dana, for having me. You can find Health Lab on Instagram at Health Lab, all lowercase. And you can also find us at healthlabusa.com. And we're also on Amazon in the US.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dana.
Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends, and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes. And come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.